Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
What do you get when you combine simplified digital marketing, proven ROI strategies, and Metallica blasting from his headphones? You get Rick Moore ready, of course. So strap in, grab your bulletproof coffee, and get ready, because this is the art of paid traffic. Here's Rick.
One of the biggest mistakes that I've learned over the past 19 years of online marketing is that when we refuse to look outside of our existing niche to see what other businesses are doing, what other businesses are doing to market their businesses. And we can often put our blinders on and only look at what other businesses who are similar to ours are doing. Yet some of the best ideas for marketing our business come from niches outside of our own. And that's exactly why I wanted to bring on today's guest, Jared Orton, who's the president of the Savannah Bananas baseball team. Aside from having one of the best names ever for a baseball team, the Bananas are a minor league baseball team in Savannah, Georgia, in the Coastal Plain League. And I first learned of Jared because he sent me an awesome note in the mail. Yes, a handwritten note saying how much he appreciated the training course of mine that he took about a year ago. And he shared the results that they got from their Facebook ads. By the way, guys, if you want to make someone's day, send them a handwritten card, send them a handwritten note, and tell them how much you appreciate them. And no, I'm not saying this so I could get more cards, but if you've taken someone's course or listened to their podcast or watched their videos, whatever it is, however they are affecting you, however they are adding value to you, seriously, in this digital age that we live in, taking a minute to send them a handwritten note to thank them for what they do will mean the world to them. And I, for one, am starting to do more of that. And I know that when I got this note from Jared, it completely made my day. What's up, my friends? Great to be hanging out with you today on the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. This is episode number 217, and I'm Rick Mulready, your host of the show here. If you're new to the podcast, what is up? Thank you so much for joining me. Make sure to subscribe to the show so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. My goal for this podcast here is to help you grow and scale your business through smart online marketing strategies so that you can have a bigger impact and thus a better life. Now, if you've been listening for a while, welcome back. Super appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Anyway, Jared Orton. Jared is the president of the Savannah Bananas baseball team, as I mentioned. And the case study that I'm going to share with you here today, Jared and the team spent $720 on Facebook ads, and they generated $22,000 in ticket sales revenue in just 2 days. Okay. Now, again, there's so much to be learned from what a team like a business, like a baseball team, minor league baseball team, is doing here. Okay. And so when we look outside of our niche, we can learn so much. And today's case study is a perfect example of this, not only for you and what you're about to hear, but Jared is going to explain how the idea for the Facebook ads campaign that he's going to break down for you here today came from watching how the organizers of the Glastonbury Music Festival marketed their event and the concepts that they use, building anticipation and creating legitimate scarcity. These are marketing strategies that we should all be using regardless of what type of business that we have. So today you're going to learn Jared's entire Facebook ad strategy, where they generated $22,000 on an ad spend of $720. You're going to learn that entire campaign from start to finish. We're going to talk about how they come up with offer ideas. If you know anything about minor league baseball, they have the most amazing promotions and offer ideas. So I asked Jared today how they come up with different offer ideas. Again, this is something that regardless of what type of business that we have, the lessons here that we can take away from how teams like the Savannah Bananas are generating offer ideas, we can all use that for our own businesses. We get into what they're doing with people on their email list once they get on the list. So one of Jared's big initiatives is to grow their email list, like so many of us are doing and should be doing in our businesses. And so we talk about what they do with people once they're on their email list. What's their nurturing look like? We get into how they target their Facebook ads, how they use their custom audiences, how they prioritize their targeting for their Facebook ad campaigns. We talk about how they use engagement data that they're taking from Facebook to make decisions on who to target. I ask him what mistakes that they made in the campaign and how they're going to use what they, those quote unquote mistakes, and what they're going to do differently next season when they do more campaigns starting in 2019. We talk about why if they're always selling, they're doing a big disservice to their community. That and a whole lot more. I was super impressed with Jared and how they're using Facebook ads and online marketing strategies to grow the fan base there for the baseball team. So with that, let's go hang out with Jared. I think we should just take off right from there, if you don't mind, with the interview. Yeah. Like we're rocking and rolling here. So yeah. Like when you say attention, I mean the types of things, just like promotion and just all the fun things that you can do with a minor league baseball team. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, a little bit. And really just what gets people talking, what gets people telling stories, you know, obviously being the Savannah Bananas, you know, coming out with that initial name totally threw people off. I mean, for hundreds of years here, you know, for about 100 years here, there's always been baseball. But baseball is this kind of slow, monotonous, kind of dying thing. And it's frustrating for the average fan. You know, most people think that baseball is kind of this really, you know, 3.5 hour thing that, you know, a lot of people don't understand. It's not really fun. It's not really entertaining. You know, it's just a baseball game. And yeah, we want to really rip the threads off that thing and say, you know, we are about entertainment. We're going to put on a show every single night for you. And that's why you're going to like us and come to our games and come to our events. And, you know, that's why you're going to be, you know, enthralled with us. And so that's the premise we took. And then from the sales side, all of our tickets are all you can eat. So we went with a value added approach rather than a discount approach. We don't discount anything. We don't, you know, 2-for-1. We don't 20% off. We don't, you know, Dollar Monday people. So all of our food, when you show up to our ballpark, unlimited hamburgers and hot dogs and chicken sandwiches and soda and water and popcorn and cookies. And it's, you know, for $18, people are getting in the ballpark and having a great night. So, you know, Jesse, our owner, his kind of tagline is, whatever's normal, do the exact opposite. You know, whatever normal baseball teams are doing, let's just take the exact opposite approach. You know, and so those are the types of stories that we're looking for. I mean, our first base coach does breakdancing, you know, between the third and fourth inning. You know, we wore kilts. We wore all yellow uniforms. You know, we have a senior citizen dance team called the Banana Nanas. We have a marching band that performs at the games, like just absolutely outlandish things. And so when you come to this quote unquote baseball game, we want you to leave the ballpark and say, like, holy crap, I've never seen that at a baseball game before. I've got to go tell people about it, and they got to come back to this thing.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I want to get into how you use, because you let me know how you're using Facebook ads for promotion to sell tickets and stuff. I want to dive into all that. But what's your what's your specific role with the team?
Yeah, so I'm the president here. So we have 13 other full-time folks, you know, from obviously ticket sales and entertainment and video production to, you know, fans for what we call our fans first department, which is all, you know, all of our personnel and fans first moments and people that care about our customers and care about our staff. So we're about 13 strong here. And I've been leading the charge with Jesse and Emily, who are our two owners. I've been leading the charge here for 3 years, ever since we got here.
I love it. Now, you mentioned to me that, so when is it a normal baseball season from a month's perspective? Are you running, you know, generally from April through, you know, just wrapping up, or what's your season look like?
Yeah. So we're more of an independent team. So we're June, July, August. So we're about 30 days strong for about 10 weeks during the season. So it's a really interesting model. I mean, you know, we have 13 full-time people working 9 months out of the year to really, you know, operate for 30 games out of the year. So a lot of planning and selling and execution on the back end to make sure that those 30 dates, you know, are packed out.
Sure.
People have the best opportunities.
So tell me about this Facebook, the ticket sales campaign, because I want to talk about that and sort of get into the nuts and bolts of that and what you guys did and how you guys did it, everything. And then also talk about sort of, are you using Facebook? And we'll kind of get into that in a second. So talk about this, the ticket sales campaign.
Yeah, I mean, so for us, you know, we really break out our ticket sales into a bunch of different categories. And there's, you know, our B2B combat, which is, you know, businesses in the community and groups and schools and little leagues and churches and whomever. And then there's kind of this, you know, what we call Joe Fan, which is mom, dad, two kids that live in our community and that want to come to 4 or 5 games every summer. And, you know, they're not season ticket holders. They just want entertainment. They just want to come out and have a great time. Mm-hmm. And like I said, come to 4 or 5 games. And then our last piece of inventory is really just that individual buyer that comes to 1 or 2 games, and we're really having trouble capturing their information and why they're coming to those games. 90% of our tickets are sold in these pre-packages and businesses and, you know, entertainment and all that stuff. And this last 10% is what we wait until the end to finally push out to our people, to push out to the customers. And so I started reading this book called Oversubscribed by Daniel Priestley. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but he talks about people lining up to do business with you and you campaigning for months and months and months to get people to line up to do business with you. And so we started fooling around with the idea of, what if we used Facebook to announce that no tickets are available to the general public at this point, but you have to get on a waiting list to be able to buy tickets from us. And so that was the premise of what we started doing, was let's use Facebook ads to communicate to our audience that there are no tickets available. Everything has sold out, and the only way to get tickets to this upcoming season is to get on our waiting list. So we called it the Bananas Priority List, and we started using Facebook ads to develop that list.
What was the incentive for them to do that?
That was the interesting part. You know, in a lot of the stuff that you obviously teach is, you know, you have to provide some sort of incredible value.
Yep.
What we were able to do was, the value was, the only way to get these tickets in advance was to be able to get on this list. So, you know, the oversubscribed mentality is, you build up so much demand for such a limited amount of inventory, and you communicate that to your potential customers and explain to them that if you do not get on this list, you might not be able to come to our games.
Gotcha.
And so that was the message we started communicating from the very beginning. And it started in January when we said, all of our packages are sold out. All of our season tickets are sold out. All of our big games are sold out. The only way you can get tickets to the Bananas this summer is by getting on this priority list.
So you're using the whole psychological aspect of scarcity here.
Yeah, I mean, the premise kind of came from, there's a music festival, the Glastonbury Music Festival, and they, hundreds of thousands of tickets are sold to this thing. They take 9 months using ads and using that kind of scarcity mentality to build their list of subscribers. And they generate like 400,000 subscribers to their email list, and they only have 100,000 tickets to sell. And so when they press play, you know, when they press go, the tickets sell out in minutes. And that's the mentality we started using, and using our Facebook ads to start communicating that message that if you want these tickets, we're not selling them right now. You know, a lot of people get in the habit of, you know, sell. We wanted to take the patient approach and just say, hey, give us your email address, give us your name. We're going to communicate with you on a, you know, weekly basis and update you on what your availability is for these games. And then in 2 months, we're going to press go, and you're going to have the opportunity to buy these tickets in advance in front of the general public.
Now, who came up? I love the fact that you were looking outside of, you know, outside of baseball. You mentioned the Glastonbury Music Festival and got this idea. This is something I talk about all the time, where like some of the best ideas come from when we're completely looking outside of our niche. When most people, you know, they turn the other way because they're like, oh, no, that's not relevant to me. That's not within my niche. So I'm going to look somewhere else. But yet, those are some of the best ideas that we can get, because people aren't, you know, that's not necessarily happening in your niche. And that could be a great idea that could be adapted to your type of business. How did that come up for you guys? I love that you guys did that.
You know, for us, it's one of our core beliefs is we're always growing and we're always hungry. And, you know, most sports teams, what they do is they just put everything on sale at one time. You know, our season tickets are on sale, our party decks are on sale, our suites, like everything's on sale at the same time. And it confuses the customer. Mm-hmm. You know, they have so many options to choose from. And so we really build our campaigns in our inventory as really knocking off chunk by chunk. You know, these tickets are sold out, this inventory sold out, this inventory, you know, sold out, this inventory sold out. When we got to this Facebook campaign, we were literally dealing with about 10% left of our inventory. These people only had about access to about 10% of our inventory. And so when you take, you know, other pieces and other companies and other industries around the world and find out, you know, how are these people doing so much business in such little time? And this oversubscribed mentality kind of explained a lot of these practices. You think about, you know, restaurants around the world that have incredible lines to get into their restaurant when there's tons of food places, you know, you can literally pull up your phone and find another place to eat. But for some reason, their customers are willing to line up at their door and wait for hours upon hours to get in because they're going to deliver the most amazing experience for those customers. And that's kind of the culture of excellence that we're trying to provide here, that when you see an ad from us, you know you're going to, you know, by clicking through that ad or by getting on our list or by buying something from us, you know that that price point and that it's worth the wait. It's worth getting on a list. It's worth receiving emails from us. It's worth, you know, being in our marketing funnel because it's worth the price of admission and it's worth that experience you'll get when you show up here.
I love it. I want to come back to what that marketing funnel looks like. So what happens once they get on your list? But so let's dive into these ads. Like let's break down kind of what types of ads that you're running. What's the messaging, targeting, that sort of thing? Because, you know, Savannah's a good sized market, but I get the question all the time. I was asked it three times this morning already. You know, when I'm targeting a small market, you know, do I get really targeted as far as like, do I start layering in the interest? So like, for example, do I want to layer in the interest in baseball? Or am I just targeting, you know, a certain age range, like a demographic within the geographic region where we serve? So let's kind of break that down and how you guys did it from an ads perspective.
Yeah. So for us, you know, kind of basically a lot of our, you know, like I mentioned, we've been in existence for 3 years. So we don't have a huge buyer database, but we have enough. You know, we've had success, you know, we've been selling out games and we've had great online sales and great merchandise sales. But obviously from a ticket standpoint, it's local. You know, we're in Savannah. We have about a 50-mile-ish radius or about an hour's worth of travel for someone to come see us. So, you know, most of the layers that we were working with, we had our Facebook, you know, following and obviously their friends. And then a lot of our engagement in our campaign. We have heavy traffic to our website, really year round and into the springtime. We also targeted a lot of our buyers from 2016 that didn't come back out in 17 or 18. And then we started initiating, once we kind of, we felt like we burned through most of those targets, we got through to our Savannah demographic and really honed in on that 25 to 54, predominantly women who are making decisions for this kind of discretionary want income. And that's where we really saw the most the most conversions came from that target right there, because that was probably the warm to somewhat cold traffic that really had not engaged with us a ton, but was interested enough in Savannah Bananas to want to, you know, to want to give over their email and get on our list.
Now, guys, for everybody listening, I want to point something out here that Jared just said that is so important. I mean, my mind, stereotypically, my mind thinks like, oh, baseball team got to target men between a certain age range. But what Jared's talking about here is, all right, we're looking at 10% of tickets that we have available, and we are looking for those, you know, for the families to come out, and that it is the generally the moms of the family who are making these decisions. And so that is who they're targeting with their ads. And that's such a really key distinction here that I'm so glad you bring that up, Jared, because a lot of people don't think like that. They think, you know, like, oh yeah, I have an understanding of my target audience here, but you know, when it really comes down to it, who is making the buying decision? And that's who I want to reach.
Yeah, 1,000%. So that's where most of our targeting went to. And as we, even as we got into, you know, our Facebook friends, our Facebook followers, and our website traffic, we really started skewing more towards that women's side, you know, because that's where we saw the engagement coming from.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of our engagement, our posts and conversations and video was heavy on the women's side. And for us, it's that 25 to 54 mark, because those are the people that have that discretionary income. You know, certainly we are not in need without a doubt. I wish we were in need. I wish baseball was in need. But, you know, we're that discretionary income, the people that want to come out 3 to 4 times and spend their summer with us.
So what types of ads were they? Were you doing video ads? Were you doing just, are these standard image ads where you're, you know, what are you talking about in the ads themselves and so on?
Yeah. So for us, the conversation started, it was about a 2-month process. So we ran this campaign for about 60 days. The first was an announcement saying this, all ticket packages are sold out. We are now introducing a waiting list. There was no call to action. There was no, click to subscribe. It was just an announcement, and explained that all tickets are sold out. We are starting the first ever waiting list. And we put that out to the media, we put that on social, and put some money behind it to make sure tons and tons of people saw it. And then a week later is when we announced the waiting list. And we did it with a video. It wasn't our best produced video, but it was
that's okay.
It was a video nonetheless. And we know how Facebook feels about video, at least a year ago, how they felt about video.
Yep.
And so it was a really just fun, kind of quirky video about all tickets are gone. You've got to get on this secret society priority list. And we kind of played off the, you know, secret society of, you know, all these myths and rituals and all that crazy stuff. But that was kind of the idea. And so we shared this video, and it got amazing organic engagement, organic reach. And then we turned that into an ad, and had the link, and we used a landing page on our website for just a basic, here's the priority list. Here's what it means. Give us your name, give us your email, and we'll keep communicating with you on the weeks leading up to when you can buy these tickets. So that was kind of the first big announcement.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started playing with this oversubscribe mentality and actually telling people how many in our subsequent posts and ads, we were telling people how many people had already joined the list. So a couple weeks later, we said, hey guys, over 1,000 people have joined this list. Your chance to get limited tickets to Savannah Bananas games. And part of that mentality is explaining to folks, you're going to miss out. You need to get on this list or you are going to miss out. And so that was an image ad. And then we had a couple more announcements. We actually had a big announcement where we were bringing in Team USA to have an exhibition game with us.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we did not say Team USA here, buy tickets now. We said, Team USA is coming. If you want to see this game, you need to get on our list. And that generated tons and tons of interest because of something new, something exciting. We turned that into an ad. We did one more scarcity update. So we listed all the dates out and said, you know, only 7 dates available. If you want to come to the biggest, best games, to the Savannah Bananas games, you need to get on this list now. And then at the very last minute, we did, this is your last chance. And if you don't get on this list, you might not be guaranteed tickets. And a week later, we pressed go on an email to about 2,000 people.
So you didn't. So all the ads were driving to getting people on the wait list.
Correct. So we had a basic landing page set up on our website that, you know, nicely, you know, obviously some of the things that you've mentioned is, you know, make sure that ad corresponds to what that landing page looks like. And, you know, don't confuse people when they click on an ad for a waiting list and it takes them to a ticket buying page.
That's
wildly confusing. So we really did our due diligence to make sure that ad really kind of replicated the information that was coming to them when they got to that landing page with the waiting list. So they got that waiting list, they put their name into the waiting list, mm-hmm. and then they got a little automatic email explaining to them, here's, you know, kind of the next steps, and we'll keep communicating with you through email for the next mm-hmm. couple of weeks. And then on, I think it was April 2nd or April 3rd, whatever that was, when they got the official email saying, here's the link, you can buy now.
How much did you spend on your ads?
So for this campaign, we did about $700 or 700, yeah, 720, I think it was.
Okay. And then what, and so you had 2,000 people on the wait list now. What did that relate into revenue wise from ticket sales?
Yeah. So we had about 2,000 people on the waiting list. Day one into day two, that turned into about 22K in ticket sales in 2 days. And again, that's, you know, Rick, that's, you know, I told you it was 10% of our inventory was available.
Yeah.
That took up 10% of that 10%. So literally, you know, we, out of about 10,000, 12,000 tickets that we had available at that point, we moved about 1,500 tickets in 24 hours.
That's awesome.
So just an absolutely amazing jump start to finishing off that leftover, you know, that last bit of inventory.
And how long was that campaign again from like that first announcement ad where you had no call to action right through to, okay, like this, you know, when you were letting people know how many people were, you know, had joined the list and so forth. What was that time period like?
So that was about 60 days. And, okay. you know, it's kind of scary because we literally weren't selling anything.
Yeah.
You know, for 60 days, we had nothing on sale, but we believed that the value of getting these people interested and, you know, again, some of these people were on the fringe with us. They had visited our website. Maybe they bought 3 years ago. So part of this campaign was kind of requalifying people
sure.
and making sure they were still interested in us.
Yep.
And, you know, so rebuilding that list. And so for 60 days, making sure that, you know, we have the right people that we're talking to that are just wildly hot, interested people in our tickets. And then when we're ready, we'll press go and send this email and see what happens. And it was just wildly, wildly fascinating.
So when they joined your email list there, you mentioned the marketing funnel. What does that look like? So from the first time somebody joined the list to on the wait list, what did that follow up look like?
You mean the follow up that if they joined the list day one,
yeah.
you know, what did it look like for 60 days after
yeah.
that?
Yeah. How'd you keep them warm? Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was definitely a challenge for us. And I think, I don't know if we totally did the best we could possibly do because we had about a 65% open rate on the email, which you would think if people, you know, opted into this and subscribed to this list,
yeah.
you'd be at, you know, geez, 100% basically. So we were at about 65% on the opens. And so I don't know if we did the best job at continuing to communicate with them. And so if I was to do it again, you know, I would communicate with them probably weekly and update them on the availability mm-hmm. and how many people have joined and, hey, you're next in the list and reminder, this is your date. We only communicated with them twice after that. So they got,
gotcha.
I guess three times if you count the automatic email. So they got the automatic email and then they got a follow-up email about 3 or 4 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got a final email 3 days before saying, you know, 3 days from now, mark your calendar, be ready to go. And of course, they got the buying email. So if I was to do it again, and obviously we will do it again, a little bit more continuous engagement with that email list to make
yeah.
sure they're totally aware when we press go, that's your time to shine.
Sure. Well, 65% open rate, it's still really good, really good.
Yeah.
But I also understand what you're saying there. If they're taking the time to, you know, mm-hmm. join this wait list where there's scarcity involved and all this other stuff, like you'd think they'd be a little bit higher. Did you retarget that list with Facebook ads?
Once the tickets went on sale to the general public, we did. We kind of put them back into the funnel of, hey, regular season, you know, our dates are on sale. Once we get into the season, once we got after the priority list,
mm-hmm.
We started doing specific date ads. So, you know, once we're getting close to June, obviously dates are a little bit more important.
Sure.
So we would do carousel ads with the first three available dates and, you know, June 1st, June 2nd, June 3rd, whatever it was. And we would start retargeting people with those ads. And, you know, I don't have all the numbers on on those specific dates, but again, putting those people that back into that funnel and delivering those ads of a little bit date scarcity,
yep.
Those perform very well.
What do you think is next for you? I mean, this is, everything you're saying here, I'm so impressed that you guys are doing all this stuff. Like, you really know what you're doing, which I'm very, very impressed. So kudos to you for that. What do you learn from all this so that what might you change next for next season?
Yeah, I think for us, making sure that we're still delivering great content to people and not always selling them.
Yeah.
And, we got a little ahead of ourselves this fall, and we had some great events that we had booked and ready to go. And what we realized was we were really putting out a ton of buy this, buy that, buy that, check this out. And I don't think that's what our fans want. And it's frustrating to think about that now, looking back at it. We weren't putting out the best free, fun, entertaining, engaging content that we possibly could. And I think Facebook punished us a little bit for that because we were so salesy. And, I had to go back and read Gary Vee's jab, 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 right hook and try to reset my mind a little bit. And we have great production people here. We have great video and creative people here. And Jesse, our owner, loves to be creative and think outside the box. And so we've really got to reset ourselves. And I want to make sure that we're delivering fresh, free, fun, amazing content to people so that when we're able to put that ad out there, it's got great engagement, people are ready to respond to it, and that they're ready to react. And so that's where we want to make sure we keep going moving forward. Obviously, as you and everyone else knows, Facebook is just an ever-changing platform. And I was watching Social Media Examiner where they're talking about taking all their long form videos off of Facebook now, and we're challenged with the same type stuff as well to make sure that we're constantly engaging with people so that when they do see that ad, when they do see that call to action, it's a no-brainer for them to respond.
And are you using Facebook ads do you plan on using Facebook ads to promote that type of content, the stuff that you're not selling or you're not selling?
Yeah, we have a little bit. We definitely have a little bit, and we're following, those retention rates and what people are seeing and how far they're watching. What we're trying to figure out now is, what's that sweet spot to communicate a message to people? And unfortunately, it's like 15 seconds
or
20 seconds. And it's like, all right, if we need to communicate a real message to somebody, we've got to do it very quickly. We've got to do it in under 30 seconds or they're not going to watch the whole thing. They're going to watch 8 or 9 seconds if it's not a compelling, fun, creative message. So when we do those 15 to 30 second videos, we are putting some decent money behind it and drawing people to our website for a conversion. Other than that, we are having to pay for engagement.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's kind of the nature of the beast right now. Facebook is a free platform for some people, but they also run a really cool business. And sometimes you got to pay to be on that business. You got to pay to be on their turf. And we get that, and that's okay. And we're fine to make sure that we're delivering great content to people if we have to pay to put it out there a little bit more.
And I assume you're building engagement audiences too. When you put this content out there, you're building, people who engage with your Facebook posts and so on, or your videos and stuff, so that you can, when you're ready to do, you have some sort of campaign where you want to sell something, you have these warm audiences built up to retarget.
That's the goal. That is 100% the goal. For us, it's attention, 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 create ridiculous attention, and then get them to engage with us, get them to like us, get them to trust us, get them to know us, and then keep working them down that funnel to where they either go to our website or potentially buy something small from us or come to an event or, do something with us where they make a purchase. But for the most part, we've got to continuously be building those engagement audiences because those are the people that are going to be most likely to buy when they see that ad. And so it's that patience that we're trying to, it's so tough because you want to see that immediate return, but we know that building those audiences, building that engagement, building that retention is what pays off when we then deliver that ad to them.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Guys, this is such a great lesson here. Minor league baseball teams are just marketing machines. And, talking about how Jerry and his team use the Glastonbury Music Festival to inspire what they did with this campaign. Even though we all may not be in, we might not be marketing a minor league baseball team, we can learn so much from what they're doing. And so Final question here for you, Jared. You got along those lines, you mentioned at the very beginning of the conversation here is that you don't discount. And you know, it's an, you know, all you can eat and included in the ticket price and so forth. And you have all these different types of promotions, you know, depending on what game it is. How do you guys come up with those ideas? Because because you know, when, you know, as I work with ad managers and pretty much people across the board, they're always wondering like, well, what kind of offer should I be making to attract my audience? And yeah. and you, I feel like you guys have this down to a science. What does that look like? What's that process look like for you guys?
You know, again, our key phrase that Jesse, our owner, has kind of coined recently, and of course, I don't even know if it's his. He probably heard it from somebody else. But again, whatever's normal, do the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. And for us, whatever the pain points are in your industry or in your niche or whatever, if you're an ads manager and you're working within a specific niche or whatever that might be, what are the pain points that the customers hate about that industry? For baseball, for sporting events, you know, if you've ever been to a game, let's say you go to an NFL game, and even if someone gave you free tickets, you come home and the first thing you talk about is how expensive the beer was, how expensive the hot dog was, mm-hmm. how expensive the parking was, and all of a sudden it becomes a negative experience. And you could be Warren Buffett and know that a $12 beer is way too expensive for a beer. That's insane. You're getting ripped off. And so we took some of those pieces and said, okay, well, the exact opposite of that would be include all the food in the ticket price and add value to the ticket price. And so that's where we started thinking about, all right, what's normal for a sporting event? What would be the exact opposite? Mm-hmm. And then from an entertainment standpoint, again, the pain points of baseball are it's long, it's slow, I don't understand it. The age demographic is trending dramatically older. So how do we provide a rapidly entertaining, fun, crazy, zany entertainment experience? And yes, there's a little bit of baseball on the side. So those are the two things for us. You know, what are those pain points that customers hate about that industry? How do you fix them? And then how do you just dramatically shift the status quo in your industry and do the exact opposite of what everybody expects you to do? That gets you ridiculous attention.
Super smart. I love it. Again, guys, another great lesson here that we can all use in our businesses, looking at the pain points to come up with these offer ideas and you know, how do we solve these pain points and go the opposite way like Jared's talking about here. Jared, this has been really, really good stuff. I suspect that I want to have you back on the show again at some point in the future to kind of talk about sort of the evolution of what you guys are doing, because the way that you're talking about this, how you've already incorporated, you know, Facebook ads and online marketing and just marketing the team in general, has been super smart and obviously really successful. So congrats, my friend, on all this. I'm really, really happy for you guys.
Yeah, no, it's my pleasure. And obviously, you know, thanks for creating all this for people to learn from. I mean, we're just a year in, I'm excited to see the evolution of course, how the platform works and how we adjust and how we change our tactics and, you know, what everybody learns collectively to start sharing. So, thanks for having me on and thank you for creating all this stuff.
Absolutely. Where can people connect with you, Jared, if they want to reach out to you?
Yeah, obviously, you know, thesavannahbananas.com is our website and all of my contact information is on there. Of course, I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter as well. And, you know, people can just hang out with us and visit our website and, you know, watch our videos and really just engage with us in a fun, entertaining way.
Awesome. I'll be sure and link that up in the show notes for the episode here today. So, Jared, thank you so much again. Really appreciate it, man.
My pleasure, Rick.
Hey, if you're an online expert, you're a coach or consultant, maybe you have an online course or a membership program, or you're a Facebook ads manager and you're looking to blow past six figures in your business while producing awesome results for your clients, then I want to invite you to check out my Accelerator Group Coaching Program. So if you have, maybe you've got a few clients, but you lack consistency in getting more clients and customers, maybe you have an offer that sells, but you don't know how to scale up to sell more of that offer. Maybe you're making money right now in your business, but you don't have the lifestyle that you desire for it. Maybe most of your business is done manually and requires your involvement every step of the way. Maybe you know that you could be making more money in your business, but you don't know how to other than working more hours. Or maybe you're doing a lot of marketing activities, quote unquote, but you don't have a process to get clients and customers consistently for your business. Maybe you feel like you're all alone, trying to figure out everything all by yourself in your business. Well, if one of these or maybe all of these resonates with you, I created the Accelerator Group Coaching Program for you. And the new Accelerator class is now forming, and this 6-month program is going to run from January to June 2019. So if you'd like to learn more and talk to me about the Accelerator to see if you're a right fit for the program, DM me over on Instagram. I'm at Rick Mulready on Instagram. Shoot me a message there. Let's chat. We'll see if you're a good fit for the program, and we'll take it from there. I'm at Rick Mulready there on Instagram. Shoot me a DM. All right. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. Really appreciate it. I've got another quick tip episode coming your way later this week. So until then, and as always, my friends, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Don't worry. There's more of Art of Paid Traffic coming soon. If you can't wait for more incredible digital marketing strategies, head over to rickmulready.com. We'll see you next time.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.